Hello, my friends, and welcome to the show. So glad to have you with me today. Greg Kokel, the host. I stand to reason this show. And, excuse me. I have been saying for quite a while now, hold on. I don't have one of those cough buttons, so you have to put up with that. Oh, my apologies. I've been talking for quite a while now about the most important generation in the church, in the history of the church, is always the next generation. It is so critical for us to pass the baton. For us, like, we've been in play for a while, and guys like me, you know, I got another 15 or 20 more years, I'll be hanging up my cleats. But I need to be thinking about passing the baton to the next generation. In fact, this has been a feature of my whole life, deeply influenced as a brand new Christian, by a man, Craig Englert, who discipled me right out of the gates. And then him passing that baton to me and me thinking about passing the baton on onto others. And I've been doing that now 45 years here, there, when I'm able to. And in many ways, you know, indirectly through shows like this or writing or teaching or something, or whether I'm working individually with people, which I've done over the years, and now with my young guns here at Stand to Reason and other people. So I believe in this concept. And, of course, you know we believe in it at Stand to Reason because we have developed our Rethink Apologetic Student Conferences. Actually, in just, 2 days, I'll be getting on another plane flying to Dallas, Cottonwood Creek Church. And we've already got, what do we have here? Almost 1,200 students signed up for that event. And so you know we believe in this kind of thing, and we are giving lots of energy and resources to making a difference in the next generation, passing that baton too. And that's why it's really amazing to me that I am just now being introduced to a group that's been totally off my radar. But I am really glad to begin to get to know these guys. I have David Eaton right now on board. He's the founder of Access. He's going to spend about an hour here with me chatting a little bit about what he does. And David, I got to tell you, this is my first exposure to your work. I think I heard about you about 3 days ago, but a whole bunch of people here at Stand to Reason are really excited about Access. And I don't think we've ever met, have we?
Actually, Greg, we have met, but it was a long, long time ago, and I was a kid. It's kind of fun to talk about this. I remember sitting down with you, and don't you just love it when people that I get to talk to one of my mentors right now. I get to talk to you.
Oh, well, that's really sweet.
We were at a hotel lobby, and you just gave me advice for like half an hour.
Oh, my goodness.
Starting a ministry and all kind of stuff.
No kidding. Where was this at?
I have no idea.
Some hotel somewhere in the country.
It was probably after I went to Summit Ministries, and you were speaking there.
Uh-huh.
And or I was on staff. I think I was on staff at Summit.
Yeah.
And I was saying, hey, Greg, like, this is what I'm doing. And you kind of pulled me aside and gave me, like, the stick to it. Hang in there. Serve the people who give to the mission and care a lot about how you express the gospel to the next generation. So yes, I have talked with you.
Oh, my goodness. Well, first of all, David, I am so sorry that I forgot that we had already talked. And I'm actually choked up a little bit here because I'm so touched by what you said. What you're doing now has gotten I'm just saying on our staff, we got some people that are just coming unglued because they're so excited about what you're doing. And like I said, you've been off my radar as far as your organization is concerned. And so for me to hear that we had a chat a while back and I was a bit of an encouragement to you, that really touches me. So I'm very glad to hear that. And the fact that we spent half an hour or so together, my goodness. But I will say this. I mean, I I'm glad to do that. If I find somebody who loves the Lord and who's energetic about making a difference, if I can sit down for a little while and I got the time, I'm going to try to give you the kind of encouragement and push and counsel that so many people have given to me over the years. You know, I'm just paying it forward a little bit. And boy, you are paying that forward big time with AXIS. So can you tell us a little bit about that? It's AXIS. Which is like a fulcrum or a spinning point or, I'm not sure why you chose that word, but maybe you can tell us a little bit about it, Dave.
Yeah, so just imagine if C.S. Lewis and MTV made a baby, or maybe C.S. Lewis and Snapchat. If they made a baby, they would name their baby AXIS. So
goodness.
We're a mission that exists to translate great ideas from great thinkers like you and like Lewis and Keller and Augustine, and then also we have our eye on what's going on in student culture currently.
Mm-hmm.
And so we try to blend both of those worlds so the gospel can speak into what's happening in student culture and student life today.
Well, you know, I'm a little embarrassed to say, I mean, I do know who C.S. Lewis is, but Snapchat, I know that's a social media thing. And I think it's a kind of thing where you can talk to somebody and then they believe the conversation disappears after about 10 minutes. I don't actually think that happens. But in any event, I mean, it just goes to show you that I am radically out of touch. I do have a Facebook and I have a Twitter, but I'm just going to confess to you up front, David, this is not my thing, okay? And that renders me, I think, limited in my ability to speak to a generation for whom these kinds of things are like daily fare to them. And even to call it daily fare is probably it's more familiar to them than that. It's the air they breathe, because the social media is the medium of their interaction, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, one of the most amazing things about, or one of the biggest challenges I think facing the next generation is, if we're going to go deep real quick, is Gnosticism. And the idea that you know, there's two parts to who you are, your physical and your spiritual or your immaterial.
Mm-hmm.
And so what could be more immaterial than a ghost? And that's the logo for Snapchat. So the rising generation, which is an amazing generation, is living both geographically, time and space, with their friends, with their peers, but they also exist as another form, which is this perfectible social media human being,
mm-hmm,
that gets to interact via phone or, you know, laptop. And so you have like these really cool technologies, these really interesting ways. I mean, there's always, I think, the Christian worldview informs that we should think about the world,
right,
in a way that it's very good. God created it very good, and that it's also under a curse, and that Jesus has lifted that, and we get to help redeem the world. So I think whenever we think about any type of technology or social media, we should think about in that lens. And so if you don't know about, I mean, that's why AXIS exists, is like we're like your research assistant.
Uh-huh.
So for parents out there and grandparents who are raising, teachers who are raising and influencing the next generation, we create resources. We even have a parent's guide to Snapchat. If you go to axis.org/guides, GUIDES, we have, you know, a 7-page resource that just says, this is what Snapchat is, and this is what a SnapMat is, and this is what a SnapStreak is, and this is the difference between my story and our story, and what all those emojis mean, and what's the scary part, what's the good part. I mean, and anybody who's a parent of a teenager should totally go download Snapchat right now, because this is where they're living. Like you said, Greg, this is the medium they like to hang out in. And so you got to understand their language, and you become a missionary, a Snapchat missionary to your kid, just trying to understand what's going on in the world.
Right. Well, so look at, I'm a 68-year-old father of a 13-year-old. I'm not quite 68, so in June. I'm ahead of myself here a little bit. That happens a little when you get my age. But a father of a 13-year-old and a 10-year-old, okay? Now, we work really hard, and we can talk a little bit about this. We work really hard to try to limit screen time, and because it just seems like every time you turn around, there's another book coming out declaring the dangers of the screens, okay? But they are a reality in life, and so and it seems like every time you turn around, there's a new social media network that's being developed. I can't even I see names on places. I know of this is the new thing. I don't even recognize it. I don't even know how it works. And to be honest with you, I cannot keep up with it. You know, it's just it's information overload for me just to keep up with the latest details. And this is one of the reason, I mean, all the new things coming down the pike that are from the world that are essentially attempting vigorously to disciple my children to a whole different worldview. And this is one of the reasons I'm really excited about what I've learned about Access so far, is that you're there for me. I mean, I read some of your stuff, and I think you started out trying to reach out to young people, and then you decided, you know, we need to reach the parents are the ones who need the help, and let them help the young people, right? Did I get that right?
Yeah, I think everyone would agree that there is no one more influential than a mom or dad.
Mm-hmm.
And when I started Access when I was 23 years old, we just started traveling and started speaking to the next generation, because I had so many of my buddies that I went to church with in high school. And then as soon as we went off to college, they left the faith. They became agnostic, became atheist. And that broke my heart. And like, that was just a microcosm of what was going on in the culture at large. So
right.
I just said, we got to reach the next generation. And so we just started traveling and speaking. And so we speak with these teams at Access, and we've spoken to 191,000 students since we started 10 years ago,
mm-hmm.
which has been cool.
Wow. That's
a
lot.
We speak to about 25,000 students a year live, but what we realize is that there are so many students we'll never speak to live. And there's no one who's more interested in reaching the next generation than parents. So what if we were to create resources that would help a mom and dad know that broccoli means weed, or that Netflix and chill means a hookup, like a sexual hookup, or that the eggplant emoji means male anatomy, or, you know, all of these different things that are changing so fast. Like, as a dad, like, you should spend half an hour a week researching your kid's world. But beyond that, I mean, it's just like, that's not your job. It's our job at Access. There's 26 of us who wake up every single morning studying and appreciating and trying to figure out all the things that are going on in student culture, and then translating that to parents. So we're just the research assistants for parents. And so that's why we have a newsletter. Like I said, we have parent guides, but we have a newsletter that goes out every Friday. We have 42,000 parents on it right now.
Wow.
40% open rate, which is huge in industry standards.
Well,
it's called the Culture Translator.
Yeah. Right.
It's a 4-minute read, and it just says, this is what happened this week in your kid's life. Talk to them about it.
Well, see, this is the kind of thing that I need as a dad. I'm just saying. And I'm going to, when I go, actually, I'm not going to do it tonight because I'm going to get home late, but I made a note. And tomorrow morning when I get up, so I can get down to business at my desk, because I'm not running around and traveling and doing a radio show or something, I'm signing up for the Cultural Translator. You know, Stan Teresen, you know this because you know Stan Teresen, but we are translators as well. And the goal that we have, of course, is to translate the tough ideas and the stuff the smart guys come up with, and translate that into a form that the rank and file can understand. You're doing translation of a different sort, but that's just as vital. You're taking the stuff that's going on in culture that the young people get, but the old folk like me don't get, and you're you're helping me understand. I did not know that. I mean, my daughters love broccoli, but they like the vegetable, right? I know that.
Let's
I didn't know that broccoli was the synonym for weed, marijuana. We call it weed, you know, dope, back 50 years ago, you know. But and I am looking right here now at some material you put out. There's broccoli. Then there's panda. What's that?
It's a type of BMW.
That's a what?
It's a BMW car.
Oh, that's
looks like a panda.
Okay,
it's made famous by a rapper.
All right, and Damn Daniel.
Yeah, that was a video where this is all kind of funny stuff, right? So this guy was wearing white Vans, and this guy said, "Damn Daniel, back at it again in the white Vans." And so Vans are a brand of shoes, and so that was just really popular, and the guy's voice was kind of funny. So
okay,
just
so this is just making rest. Oh, I see. So kids just say this, kind of making a general reference to this thing on TV or whatever, right? It's not a synonym for something else, like broccoli is, yeah. But it's just part
not
of the terminology
is a
of the.
Synonym. But
all right.
Are.
Well, I know what you got Netflix on this list. I know what Netflix is. I rent movies. So, but that you must. This must be referring to something different, right?
Yeah, if you say you should tell your wife that you want a Netflix and chill tonight, it just means to have sex. And
okay.
It's actually made it through the internet, you know, sausage making factory. So it's just been reused over and over again.
Oh,
now
my
it's
goodness.
Kind of a joke.
Yeah.
But
okay. Well,
if someone were to say to your daughter, if she were, okay, I don't want to talk about your kids. Let's say someone is on Tinder, which is an app that helps people geographically meet up, go on a date, and usually sleep together. So the idea of Netflix and chill just is a euphemism for
Shack
a casual sexual hookup, not
hookups.
Marriage.
Uh-huh.
And so, and it's now it's just kind of a joke. So if you're a parent who's never heard of that before, we get it. But that was really popular 3 or 4 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And if you were to say, "Hey, you guys want to watch Netflix and chill tonight?" Your kids would just kind of laugh at you.
Yeah, like you're out of it because that's such that's so last year kind of thing.
Right.
And I'm
right.
So like 19th century is what I am. You know, I'm not even last year. But I, you know, I think that there are a lot of people, David, that are like me. That are, I mean, we got kids, we're older, we're occupied with adult responsibilities.
Yeah.
And it's really, and like I said, the terms and the social media vehicles change so rapidly, you can't keep up with it. Look, 3 years ago, somebody made the reference to Miley Cyrus, all right? I leaned
right.
over to somebody next to me. I promise you, this is what I said. I said, "Is that a guy or a girl?" Now, I know now it's a gal, and she's a singer, and her dad's a singer, country and western, I think, but she's a cultural icon. But it just shows that I was out of touch, but I can't, but I mean, maybe she's old hat now, and somebody else is the cool one or whatever, you know. I just. And it's just impossible for people like me to keep up. And this is why I think for people like me, and there's a whole bunch of folk like me that are listening to us right now, what you've done with the cultural translator, the culture translator, is phenomenal. I've checked a couple of them out online. And like
Thank
I
you.
Said, tomorrow I'm gonna sign up. And what it does is it gives you that snapshot. And I think it's pretty easy. Like, you just deal with like 3 or 4 things per deal, right? It's like a quickie, so to speak.
Yeah, it's supposed to be fast. We realize that everyone's busy. They're tired. They have a lot going on. And so it's just like it's like a white paper. It's a briefing
uh-huh.
for you to look at. And one thing that I will say to everyone.
By the way, you sound
is,
entirely like, square when you say white paper. I mean, that doesn't even sound like it should come out of your mouth, Dave. You are so hip. You say white paper, that sounds like me. Okay, I know what you're talking about. Gotcha.
Yeah, and the thing that I want everyone to hear and hear loud and clear is like it is virtually impossible to stay on top of these things. And because it's changing so fast, whatever's cool now is expiring. You know, and there's social media is like, and the smartphone is this tool that just kind of generates student culture so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But even if you feel behind, always remember that there is no one more influential in your student's life than you as a parent.
Mm-hmm.
And the second to you is grandparents, and after that you have coaches and pastors and teachers. So feel free to outsource your cultural research to Axis.
Mm-hmm.
You know, outsource some of those harder translation pieces to Stand to Reason.
Mm-hmm.
But know that we exist to resource you as a parent.
Yeah.
And so we want to resource you to have great conversations. I love telling this story, Greg, and it's about this young lady. She's a millennial. She's in her early 30s, and she said to us at Axis, she says, I've only had one real conversation with my dad. And when she said that to us, we were like, oh, no, this is terrible. She's only had one conversation with her dad, and no wonder that the next generation and the gospel is lost. The gospel is lost in translation to the next generation if she's only had one real conversation. And then, to make matters worse, turns out that her father is on my board, and her father is a Christian university president.
Oh, my God.
And all of a sudden, it's like, wow, she's only had one real conversation with her dad. This is not looking good. But then she paused, and she kind of had a sweet smile, and she says, we've never stopped having that one conversation.
Oh, gosh. At first, so, I was saying, you're being pretty candid, because it's not going to be too difficult to figure out who that is.
Right.
You know, it's all public information. But, you know, that's really sweet that she put it that way. That's great. Good
and
for
him.
And
that's the thing is, like, a parent can have a stick. And Greg, you will have a 60-year conversation with your kid.
Yeah.
And grandparents, Lord willing, will have a 30-year conversation or more with their kid. And you know, a youth pastor can have an 18-month conversation. An Axis team can come to your kid's school and have a 2-day conversation that shifts some of their paradigms. I'm not going to underscore some powerfully, you know, the Holy Spirit using these powerful moments with people, but there's nothing like that ongoing conversation that a parent can have with their kids. And so for us, we really care about a parent who has an 8-year-old to an 18-year-old, where they're still in your home before they head off in the workforce or off to college. We can help you have one amazing conversation every single week with your kids. So that's 500 conversations over that 10-year period. And the beautiful thing is, I don't know what a lot of those conversations need to be, like in 2019. But I know that Axis is going to be there. We're going to be studying what's going on, and we're going to be creating the culture translator, or these parent guides, or you know, whatever the latest thing. And we just did a talk on drugs, and that was really interesting, or on gossip and social media.
Right.
We're going to be there, and we're going to be thinking about these things again, so that we can resource parents to have awesome conversations with their kids.
Well, my guest here, David Eaton, co-founder of Axis, A-X-I-S, we're going to be talking more about what they do and how they can help you as a parent. I have said here in the past that not only that the most important generation is the next generation, but also I have said to you, my dear friends, that we can't disciple your kids. Only you can disciple your kids. We can disciple grown-ups or young adults, but kids, youngsters, and emerging adults, that's your responsibility. And Axis is just another helper on the team to help you do that. Let's take a break, and we'll come back with David Eaton and Axis after this. I'm Greg Kokel for Stand to Reason.
Without realizing it, our students are being shaped by the ideas around them. News, social media, movies, friends, and teachers are all shaping how they think about the world. And what they believe about the world will determine how they live in the world. That's why I'm so excited to tell you about this year's Rethink Apologetics Student Conference. Our theme this year is all about worldview. When students come to Rethink, they will get equipped. No topic is off limits, so bring your questions and press in for answers. They will engage top speakers. We've invited some of the brightest Christian minds to interact with them on tough topics, and they will enjoy themselves. Whether you're a believer or a skeptic or somewhere in between, we guarantee that they're going to have fun. So join us in Dallas at Cottonwood Creek Church on March 2nd and 3rd, and in Alabama at Briarwood Presbyterian Church on April 20th and 21st. It's time to rethink how we see the world.
Would you like to know the one unifying theme of the entire Bible? Greg Kokel reveals it to you in The Bible Fast Forward, his sweeping 8-lesson series on DVD. Greg demonstrates, from Genesis to Revelation, that the Bible represents one cohesive plan of salvation. This fascinating tour of Scripture shows you how the events, covenants, and promises of the Old Testament come to their perfect focus and fulfillment in Jesus Christ. This masterful survey of God's redemptive plan is available to you on DVD or on demand via HD streaming or download. It also includes a comprehensive 145-page study outline with questions for reflection or group discussion. To order the Bible Fast Forward, visit STR's online store at store.str.org or call 800-2-REASON today.
Greg Kokel back with you here on Stand to Reason. My guest today, David Eaton, he's the co-founder of AXIS, A-X-I-S, and it's a tremendous resource from everything that I've been able to discover so far. Hearing from my staff and others and now talking with David himself as he's explaining the tremendous resource they provide. And I like the way you put it, David. Just so you can outsource a lot of the cultural research to us, and we'll tell you what's going on. You say you have 26 people on your staff that are doing your kind of day-to-day research. Is that right?
Absolutely. We do.
So what is it that they – I mean,
yeah, the average
general...
age is like probably 26 years old.
Oh, really? Okay. So what is it they're doing? I mean, how do they – what do they do to find out all this stuff? I mean, what does their activity look like to provide – yeah, to provide the information for us? I'm sure they're in touch on all these social media.
Yeah. The secret sauce is that they are the secret sauce. Like, I just have to remind them that what they know is special.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is normal for them.
Yeah.
And so this is the language, this is the air they breathe.
Yeah, that's right.
So,
I was just thinking about that, right.
And so, yeah, on one level, we have plenty of staff. You know, I'm 34 years old, so I'm an old man here. but we have plenty of staff who's 10 years younger than me, who this is the world they live in, this is normal to them, so we're always just understanding that. And then we have teams who speak at Christian schools and churches mm-hmm. all over the nation and even internationally, so they're interfacing with 16, 17, 18-year-olds, and
right.
we're learning from them all the time.
Right.
You know, we're fostering great conversations. You know, how about, I'm even going to just tell you something, Greg. I loved your, you know, never read a Bible verse.
Mm-hmm.
You remember that little... Speaking of white papers,
uh-huh.
I think you used to sell them the back table for a couple bucks. And so so we actually have a presentation that we do called How to Read the Bible Like uh-huh. the Devil. And
uh-huh.
that's one of the lines that we cite from you is the Never Read a Bible Verse. It's
uh-huh.
something that you said, and that little book that actually my brother brought home, I read, really changed the way I viewed
uh-huh.
Scripture. And then here we have teams when they speak about smartphones and technology and the Christian worldview. Also, they get to talk about how to read the Bible in context.
Wow.
And how to appreciate the overarching story, how we find ourselves as God is the main character, and how does our subplot fit to his main plot. So, yeah, we're speaking all around the country, and that's just an education
wow.
in and of itself.
Well, that's great. Well, you got me blushing again, so I'm glad to hear that was really helpful. So now I want to go back to something that you said. Well, let me first repeat that you have this resource called the Culture Translator. It's a weekly email that gives kind of a snapshot of the major happenings in the culture, the good, the bad, the ugly kind of thing, so that we as parents can kind of be a little bit more on the cutting edge of what's going on. And how would people get that Culture Translator? Let's give them that information.
If they go to axis.org, you can find it and you'll sign up for it.
Okay.
The direct landing page is axis.org, axis.org/CT for Culture Translator.
CT.
And go there, sign up for it, and then sign your spouse up for it. You'll be blown away at what you learn each week. And again, the goal is not just to learn it. The goal is to say, I'm going to read this. It takes 4 minutes to read.
That's right. It's
like
easy.
Super easy.
Mm-hmm.
And then say, what's one conversation that I could have with my kid?
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe that if you get it on Friday, strike it up over the weekend or the next week and text it to them. Say, hey, what do you think about this?
Mm-hmm.
And then have that amazing conversation. And that's what we're looking for. We're looking for and, you know, as a dad said to us about the Culture Translator, he says, you have helped me join the conversation my kids are already having.
Uh-huh.
So this allows you to not feel embarrassed, to not feel like, oh, I don't know what this is about, I don't know what's going on, but it's that kind of ongoing continuing education to help you enter into your student's world.
Yeah. You know what, I'm looking at, I think this is the most, February 23rd, so this is the most recent one. And so you have these three items, and one of them is, for example, a parent's guide to smartphones, and then you say what it is. And it's in one sentence explaining the average person touches their smartphone over 2,000 times a day. The average millennial spends 3.2 hours per day on their phone. I mean, that's just a stunner, okay? But then you have your translation, actually, why it's informative, what's important about this particular point. And then you go with a paragraph of explaining and a couple of links if people want more detail. And that's what it's like, what it is and what it means. And that's the point of the translation. Here are the things,
absolutely,
and here is the significance that it's having in the life of your teen or your young person. And that, I think, is really helpful. So if you want to get that, axis.org/CT for Culture Translator, or just go to their homepage and you'll see the link there. Now, here's something that I was just thinking about what you said earlier, and I wondered what your advice is on this. I have two daughters, like I mentioned, 13 and 10, and they're very different from each other. One's a bookworm and the other one is not at all and is a total kind of social butterfly, right? Okay, and
yeah.
They both want, well, one we gave a smartphone to and then we took it away within about 6 weeks because we realized this is not good for her, right? And then the younger one is wanting her smartphone right away. And I'm thinking, you're going to get married before you get a smartphone, you know, just because of my concern about it's like, I guess I know this, I sound so square when I say this, like I can think about how my dad used to sound to me when I was a young man, but it's kind of like a Pandora's box. You're opening this door to a world that is it gives them almost unlimited access to all kinds of things that adults themselves sometimes don't know how to handle. And here we have children that have access to this world, and it is not possible for us to completely control that. That's one thing we've discovered. You can put guidelines, you can put this, that, and the other thing, but ultimately, you can't finally control it because they can get through and get by it and whatever. I mean, that's the big concern. So I'm just thinking, on the one hand, how do I best protect my children when there's something like this right there in their environment? And I'll tell you, my daughter, who's 13, is in high school now, and they give her an iPad, and she's got to have it for her schoolwork. And that scares the heck out of me.
Yeah, yeah.
So they,
you wouldn't believe
how
many we had a school. I'm not going to say where. It sounded like I was throwing, you know, one of our board members on the bus earlier. but yeah, there was a school that just handed the kids all iPads, one-to-one initiatives. No filters, no limits on these iPads. And then, you know, like the day one, they get an iPad and an eighth grader is showing a sixth grader porn on it.
Oh, gosh.
And then the parents of that sixth grader find out. It's like they're making almost death threats to the other kid at the school.
Right.
So, yeah, you have to – I think maybe a fantastic analogy is to consider – you know, did you get a driver's license when you were 16, Greg?
Pretty close, yeah, I did.
And – so just think about all that goes into driver's ed.
What used to be driver's ed. I don't think they still do driver's ed. They did when I was younger, but I don't even think they do that anymore, do they, in high school? They do? They do?
There's companies, and you got to get your permit.
Okay, yeah.
You're in Colorado,
well, I know about the permit and stuff
permit
like that, but I had it in high school, and I wasn't sure if they had discontinued driver's ed or not. But anyway, go ahead. I'm following your point.
I'm just saying the same. I mean, before you give your kids, imagine if your 13-year-old is 3 years older, she's 16, you're not just going to give her the keys to the car and say good luck.
Right.
And hope she figures it out. No, there's like a ton of training that's involved. There's governmental tests that she has to take. There's a car that's purchased. There's insurance, et cetera.
Yeah.
And so the same thing is like there's so many parents who, in essence, hand their kid a smartphone, which is like giving them the keys and just say good luck and hope everything, you know, what could go wrong? And so at the same level of care, I believe, needs to be taken so that you help your student understand what's going on the smartphone, what it's capable of. And then, obviously, when you start off, you want to have limits to it and some training. But eventually, you know, just like when your daughter turns 16 and she gets her driver's license, you don't want to be riding in the passenger side, in the passenger seat of her car when she's 26 years old.
Right.
You want her to learn how to drive on her own and be able to be fully functional with that as well. So
and
the same thing, I think a parent should give their child a smartphone with a ton of limits on it with the goal of it not having limits at some point.
Well, just for the record, the iPads that my one daughter gets at her school, there are lots of restrictions. She has to sign an agreement.
Great.
They do what they can because they know the dangers of the abuse of this. However, even so, you know, just the screen aspect, just that she's focusing a lot of time using a screen to accomplish different tasks and then surfing the web in maybe even innocuous places, that is, the content may be innocuous, but the whole process of being wedded to that screen, that itself is a danger in my view and what I'm reading. Just to backtrack, though, for a moment, this whole discussion about the dangers of, say, smartphones or screens, as you tied it into driver's training and getting a driver's license, parents know how to drive, and they know, if it was up to them, how to instruct a child in proper, safe driving habits. So we have the resources to instruct that. But we don't know how to do the web stuff and the phone stuff and everything. So this is where I think your parents' guides are really helpful because you can tell us, presumably through those parents' guides, how to accomplish this stuff. Tell us a little bit then about the parents' guides and what you want to accomplish with them.
Well, I will say, like, if you think about when I answered a phone as a kid, my parents taught me how to answer a phone. Hello, this is the Eden residence. May I ask who's speaking, right?
Right.
Now our kids are teaching us, Dad, this is how you text. Dad, you know, Mom, that's not how you use this or that emoji. So there has been this massive flip in how things, where products go first and how the education process happens. Mm-hmm. On a positive side, you know, having your two daughters in the home is like having tech support in your house at all times, right? Because they can show you. but yeah, I think, I think there's actually four big conversations that you have to have when it comes to technology. And I mean, I don't know if we'll get to all of those right now, but the first one, I think, is that you can't just say technology is neutral. I think you tie it into this theological framework where you say that God has made the world very good. He put us as humans in it to cultivate it and take care of it, and that technology is a form of that cultivation. So that, so you're not always the bad guy as a parent when you start off. So you start off by saying, like, let's see how this is very good. But then you say, let's also see how it is cursed. And then you also say, let's see how we as a family can redeem it. So I think that is like a huge first conversation.
That's good.
And again, you want to, like, before you get to the, like, the nuts and bolts of, like, you know, I'm going to limit your freedom on this device because I love you. You know, you kind of have to help define that first thing.
Okay.
And then I think, should we go to the second conversation?
Yeah, I'm just thinking that I'm glad you said it that way because, you know, to some degree, and I don't know if this is my personality or just the era I came up, my impulse is to say, okay, this thing has danger, so here are the limits. Here are the box, and so it's helpful for you to say, have the conversation. It's good. It's bad. We are made in God's image. We are to manage the environment for the good and be aware of the bad. And so this is all part of being made the image of God. And just like anything else that we are going to make use of, whether it's a TV or a telephone or a smartphone or a screen or whether it's a tool of any kind, there's the good and the bad. And we apply ourselves to use it for the best purposes to God's glory. Okay, so that's good. that's good for me as a parent to hear. The second thing?
Well, you don't always want to be the guy, or, you know, you don't always want to be the mom or the grandma who's always complaining about stuff.
Right.
Who's always the naysayer.
Yeah.
Instead, like, if you start from this vantage point, it's like, let's find what's beautiful in this.
Uh-huh.
And all the while, when you're looking at the very good, the cursed, and the redeemable aspects of it, you're submitting that form of technology under the authority of God.
Right, right.
And end of that story. So,
okay, hold on just a minute. I just looked at the time. We got to take a break, and then we'll come back, and we'll get 2, 3, and 4, okay? My guest,
great.
Yeah, okay. My guest, David Eaton, founder of Axis, AXIS. You can find Axis at axis.org, and you can sign up for their wonderful culture translator and take a look at all of the parent guides that they have. We'll find out more about that when we return on Stand to Reason.
It's hard to keep in mind all the facts and arguments you need to address tough topics. That's why STR has developed a series of quick reference guides on same-sex marriage, abortion, and tactics to help refresh your memory and encourage dialogue. These guides give you concise answers, all on a single 8.5 by 11 inch laminated card. They're a quick and easy way to gain useful knowledge about some of the most important issues facing Christians today. With these tools at your side to guide your thoughts and aid your memory, you'll engage critics with full confidence. You'll be fully equipped to answer objections with grace and clarity. Get your quick reference guides today by visiting the STR store at store.str.org or calling 800-2-REASON.
You know, since 1990, I have taken all kinds of questions and challenges from callers from all over the world, and I would like to hear from you, too. Now, you may have a question or a challenge on ethics, values, or religion that you want to discuss with me live in the show, but I know it can be hard to find time in your schedule to call and wait online. So we've come up with a convenient solution. Here it is. Click the banner at str.org that says, Question for Greg, Ask Now, and fill out the form on the website. And if your question is chosen, we'll give you a call between 4 and 6 p.m. Pacific time on Tuesday during the live show, and we'll make sure you get a chance to talk with me. We'll make an appointment with you in advance. Click the banner on the homepage or visit str.org/training/broadcast and simply fill out the online form today. And then we'll talk. Final segment here on Stand to Reason with my guest, David Eaton, and that's E-A-T-O-N, and his organization, AXIS, that he co-founded. Did you say 8 years ago, David?
10 years ago.
Oh, 10 years ago. Okay, got it. Well, you've really been working hard in the last 10 years. So they have a wonderful culture translator you can sign up for on their at their website, axis.org. And it's a weekly email that will give you 3 points to think about with a little translation there to bring you more up to speed on the kinds of things that your young people are confronting. We're talking a little bit right now with David about the 4 big conversations that we need to have with our young people. And the first one, you said, David, is that text is not neutral. And it's something that is like a stewardship for us to cultivate for the good. Would that be a fair way of putting it?
Absolutely.
Okay.
That's dead on.
And so second
one, here he is, drum roll, please, is four little words. What is it for? So, because we're talking about, like, smartphones right now, ultimately.
Uh-huh.
But this kind of gets couched in the idea of technology and couched in the idea of the creation mandate that God said, you know,
uh-huh,
be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, have dominion, steward things.
Right.
And so I think a huge question, again, before you get into, like, the nuts and bolts of, like, what are you allowed to have on your smartphone or not, is what is the telos, what is the purpose of this device? And so, and have the family conversation about it. So maybe your family sits down and they say, what's the purpose of the smartphone? Well, it's something to have fun with, and maybe it's something to connect us with the ones we love the most.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's the answer.
Okay.
But then it's dinner time, and dad is checking his email on his phone. Mom is on Pinterest. Maybe your daughter's, like, keeping her snap streak alive on Snapchat. And then all of a sudden it's like, whoops, like, this is dinner time. This is when we're supposed to be face-to-face, eyeball-to-eyeball,
uh-huh,
with the ones that we love, you know, learning about each other and talking about our days and enjoying some great food. And yet here's this incredible device that we said was for connecting us and the ones we love.
Right.
but it's actually disconnecting us.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, I think that's another one, is to have that. Again, I'm all about the conversation. Have that conversation. What are these different devices for?
Yeah. Well, you know, and, I do have what I thought of when you said that, my daughters when my daughters want to use my phone, this, because they don't have a phone, they have a iPad, you know, or access to one. There's a family one. And they have limited screen time. They have to log in and log out. When they use it, they get 1 hour a day. And we actually have 3 days a week now. And these are changes that we've recently implemented. 3 days a week that are no screen days. That means...
Really?
Yes, that means no iPads and no TV set, no television, unless it's something that mom and dad both agree on for the building up of the family. Like, for example, we might watch some intelligent design video on a no screen day because that's educating our kids spiritually. We'll talk about it. Or my daughter and I were watching War Room last night, you know, this film that was made about prayer. So that, yeah. So that would be the exception. But the idea is we're not going to have that distracting in our life. But when my girls ask me, can I use your iPhone, I know what they want it for. They want to play a game, which I don't really have games on my phone. They want to dink around on it. And I tell them, right? You know, and I tell them, look, this is a tool for Papa. This is not a toy. For me, it's a tool, not a toy. And so I don't want kids playing with my tool, because if they mess with my tool, then sometimes the tool gets broken and I can't use it for what I need it for. But it's my attempt to communicate, at least with my phone, that this is for a very precise purpose and I'm not using it outside of that purpose. So that kind of fits in a bit with the second question, what is it for? Although I realize that some people may have different answers to that question. For me, it's a tool, so I don't want the girls using my phone. But the iPad may be for other purposes as well. So this is a good question. So what's the third big conversation?
Third big conversation is that, with especially the smartphone, is like we're on a journey as a family. So you're in it together as a family, and there's a destination. And the destination, as you're like journeying through this smartphone discipleship or any device discipleship, mm-hmm. is that the destination is, I want you to be independent. I want you to be able to use this without my oversight, mm-hmm. without any limits, because you know, and you have so much wisdom with this, that you can self-regulate.
Huh.
So you want to help them, and that's what adulting is, right?
Right.
Is like delay of gratification, self-regulation, and hopefully, you know, all of us are modeling that at home. I mean, I don't have email on my smartphone. Whoa, that's so crazy. But the reason I don't have email on my smartphone is because I realize my propensity to work and to bring work home with me. And so if I have it right there with me all the time, and this is like, I'm not advocating this for anybody on the show who's listening to this. This is a decision I have made.
Wow.
Because like, I'll look at an email at like 9 o'clock at night,
uh-huh.
and then I'll just be like worked up, you know?
Right.
So, or I'll just want to look during the day, you know, when I get home, it's dinner time. I'm the dad at the restaurant looking at email on his phone. So I have the self-regulation and realizing that it's going to be a journey that starts off with a ton of limits. And so a very limited, you know, have a device with a very limited use, and to the end where it's like, no, this is something that God owns that you get to steward and take care of.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, I want to say a couple of things about this. I know as we're kind of getting to the end here.
Right. Got about 6 minutes.
You know, like, who owns it? God owns it, but really mom and dad own it.
Yeah.
Leasing a phone to your kids.
Right.
And before you give it to them, I would highly recommend a family this is the nuts and bolts, by the way, like a family contract that uh-huh. they sign. And there are a ton of, like, smartphone contracts online. So just mm-hmm. go find four of your favorite, blend them together and make it happen.
Right.
I think another thing that is huge is that it's my phone and I have a right to privacy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't think your child has a right to smartphone privacy.
Right.
That's a
I agree with you
they
there.
Earn
right.
from demonstrated integrity. Go right. ahead. Sorry, Greg.
No, I agree with you on that. I think it's a really important point. And because we get inundated with this right to privacy concept, and we start to think that, well, we owe this to our children, that they are autonomous individuals with these isolated rights that they don't know how to exercise anyway properly. That's part of our training. But then we surrender that to the culture instead of saying, no, you don't have a right to privacy. We can honor space that they have that's their own, but it's not impenetrable, especially if there's something dangerous we have to protect them from. And that's, I think, what you're getting at.
Yeah, and the mantra that I think, you know, every parent should recite over and over again is that we are better in community than in isolation.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, tied to something better, and that is relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you have, if someone says they have this right to phone privacy, I don't think that's, even if that is a right, I think that that's a right that we give up as Christians. Because we live in community, we exist in community, and so I don't have a right to phone privacy. My wife can look at anything on my phone at any time that she wants to.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to model that I am under authority.
That's
and that
right.
I'm better in community.
No, see, that that particular point is, I think, exceptional. I mean, this is the balancing act with the respect for someone's privacy, that we are under authority, every one of us, and there's a God-ordained authority. I want to go back to something you said. I know you got number four to give in just a minute, but you talked about self-regulation, and this is very similar to the concept of self-governance. You cannot be a responsible adult and live a functioning life unless you know how to self-govern. And what you're suggesting is we take these very appealing contraptions that young people want, and we use them as a tool to train them to accomplish that, self-governance.
Absolutely.
Self-regulation.
You got it.
Yeah, that's great. Number four.
I'm not going to give you – well, right before we get to number four is, like, I still think that with the App Store, texting, social media, internet browsers, all of those start off where they don't exist on your kid's phone.
Uh-huh.
And incrementally you give them responsibility as you continue to, like, show them what is each app for, like, what is this doing? And, you know, there's guidelines around that. And I will say, like, some things that we have seen before I get to point number four, the final point. Is we've seen, like, parents do some just awesome stuff, and that's something that's really great about Access too. We're traveling and we interact with parents, and so we've seen parents actually create boundaries, the self-governance, the self-regulation idea, to actually help, and they do it as a family. So, for example, you might limit what apps you have on your phone or the type of notifications you get, but this second one is really cool, is that when families agree to a technology curfew, where they say, like you said, you know, these 3 days are off limits, or there's a lot of families who say, hey, we have a curfew in the evening and the morning. Like, our phones are away from 8 p.m. to 8 a.m.
Right.
They're charging. They're in the main area. We're not taking them to the bedroom with us. And so just those kind of things, because they realize that, you know, creating is better than consuming, and they don't want to be distracted. So it's something they agree to.
Mm-hmm.
I think let's go to the final conversation here. And so if conversation number one is very good but cursed, but it can be redeemed. Second conversation is, what is it for? What's this device for? The third conversation is, we're on a journey with the destination, kind of like the idea of driver's ed. We're going to train you so you can be independent.
Mm-hmm.
The fourth thing is that you can tell us anything. Your child needs to know that they can tell you anything.
Mm.
And so you are here. You love them. You have their best interest in heart since day one.
Mm.
And that you are in their corner, and you can tell them anything. Now, the reason I say this is because I was talking with a young lady in high school, and her mom just put a bunch of limits on her phone. And she quipped back, the stricter the parent, the sneakier the child. And what she was trying to say is, like, the stricter you get, mom, the sneakier I am.
Yeah.
And I loved that zinger, because I think it's very true, but I also think it's sneakily false, because she just didn't believe that her mom had her best interest at heart.
Right.
She didn't realize that, you know, God makes rules so good things can run wild, as Chesterton would say.
Mm-hmm. Well,
go ahead, Greg.
I was just thinking in a picture that I had in my mind of me talking to my 13-year-old now a couple days ago, and I was just holding her hands and looking in her eyes. And I haven't always done it this way, you know, but I'm learning, you know, and I'm telling her, honey, I love you. Mom loves you. We want to protect you. And this is why we want XYZ or whatever, this boundary, whatever. We're not trying to make life miserable for you. We're trying to protect you. And you know, to me, I mean, I'm working, I'm growing in this area because part of my impulse is more like, well, this is the way it is. And, you know, dad says it, you know, and that settles it kind of deal. We know it's best and whatever. Now, I think there's a truth to that, but there's a style, too, that needs to be communicated. So, and that style is that this is motivated out of love, and we have to communicate that. And so when you say things like, you can tell me anything, we're on your side, we're in your corner, I think that is really, really powerful.
And you can even tell them that you want to learn from them.
Mm.
Like, on one level, you want to connect your wisdom with their wonder.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have, you know, 68 years of wisdom or 67 years of wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, they have this brand new approach to the world, and they want to learn. And that wonder, that wisdom and wonder connecting is huge.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think that you can tell us anything is also indicative of this really, really amazing point that a dad said to us. He says, are you raising a sin confessor or are you raising a sin concealer? And if your child doesn't know that you're safe and that you love them and that you are eager to reconcile and that you are a safe place for them to confess their sins and their mistakes, then they're just going to hide it from you.
Well,
and you don't want sin to stay hidden.
That's right.
You want it to come to the surface.
Really powerful.
And so as you're telling them that you can tell us anything, that you're safe, I think it's really important, especially with the smartphone conversation, to talk about pornography, to talk about sexting. Like, it is super normal. It is super normal for girls to be asked for nudes. And it's normal for them to want to be asked for naked pictures because
that's
culture tells them.
And I got two daughters.
Where they get their value.
Right, I got two daughters. That just shakes me up just to even hear that. Look, we got 30 seconds here. I'm looking at some of the titles of the parent guide: suicide, health, self harm prevention, depression, anxiety, sexting, Netflix, eating disorders. These are all a doubting team. Snapchat, Android, smartphone. These are all. You got them. You got them covered. And I just think it's fabulous. David, I am so thankful for the work you're doing. I'm glad we had a chance to talk a little bit. I hope everybody goes to axis.org, AXIS.org, and certainly signs up for your weekly culture translator and grab some of your parent guides, too. And thanks so much for spending some time with me on the air.
Thank you, Greg.
All right, buddy. All the best to you.
Bye.
That is axis.org, and boy, what a lot of good stuff they have. I can't wait to get some of this stuff myself. Hey, thanks for spending some time with me, my friends. That's it for our show, or at least this hour. I'm Greg Kokel for Stand to Reason. Bye-bye.